opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Cyberspace is a place that only a human being locates, where there's so much information to take. There you enter an entirely new phase. Once you get on the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanley, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Zone.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
Let's go. all day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to another edition of the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind here on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton, and we're pleased to be back, and we're pleased to have you with us. Don't forget to check out all the hosts and all the programs here on the Blake Radio Network. We have something for everyone, and it's a plethora of outstanding and intelligent programming designed with you in mind, our Rainbow Soul loyal listeners. We're going to take a brief break for some public service announcements, and then we'll come back. We have some interesting guests for you today, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Greetings to the Internet Radio family. This is Reverend Valentine speaking. You know, for nearly 30 years, I have had the distinct experience of being interviewed over every medium of communication available to the public. And except for the metaphysical underground, I can think of no other electronic venue that has been more progressive, more innovative, more insightful, more diligent, more diverse in its demographics, and more courageously supportive of the truth than this ever-growing phenomenon called Internet Radio. And this is precisely why I'm here to tell you that it is so vital that you give your wholehearted support to it. Tell a friend. In fact, tell 2, 3, and 4 of your friends. If you are a business owner, support Internet Radio by telling your customers and constituents all about it. Let them know that there is a legitimate and important substitute to all of the prefabricated, super-censored garbage polluting our public airways today. Don't allow the mass media to continue to treat you like a mindless consumer drone. Enhance your awareness. Indulge your critical thinking, your reasoning, and your analysis. Do as I do. Log on, listen in, and then let it be known all about your Internet Radio experience. Chimatep, beloved family, thank you for listening. Walk in light.
Hi, I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to join me in financially supporting the Blake Radio Network on a regular basis. We need your continuing patronage to help the Blake Radio Network remain alive and thriving both now and well into the future. There are several easy ways you can send your contribution. To use PayPal, click on the help link on the Blake Radio Network's website at www.blakeradio.com, or you can go directly to the PayPal website and click the send money link. Type in rainbowsoul at blakeradio.com as the email address and Unlimited Ventures as the payee. Then follow the instructions. To send a check or money order, make it out to Unlimited Ventures, care of Neil Blake, and mail it to 73 Ireland Place, that's Ireland Place, Suite 109, Amityville, Amityville, New York, 11701. It's easy, painless, and uncomplicated. And you'll feel great after doing it, knowing you're keeping the Blake Radio Network alive and on the cutting edge of media technology. I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, thanking you in advance for your support.
And welcome back to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. We started off the program with our message in the music, Steve Cobb and Chuvandika Ujima, Collective Work and Responsibility. And we played that, obviously, this is not Kwanzaa season yet, but it's something that we need to be about 365 days of the year. We need to think about it, we need to dream about it, we need to bring it into actualization, and we need to support one another
in our endeavors. And speaking of endeavors, we were out and about, and we stopped by the October Gallery Mount Airy Holiday Marketplace, and it's opened Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and of course, this week is so-called Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and we went up on Saturday, the 26th. That's the first weekend. They're going to run from November 25th through December 24th. It takes place on Germantown Avenue in Philadelphia. We did an interview there with Queen of Fool about a month or so ago. The locations are 7165 and 7137. They feature live entertainment, poetry, special events, their giveaways, their artists, their artisans, their craftspeople, their vendors. And so we encourage you to go up if you live in the tri-state area, Philadelphia, South Jersey, Northern Delaware, and the surrounding counties. It's easy to get to, and to go up there and see for yourself what can be done when people work together in a collective manner. There are a lot of handcrafted items, clothing. Again, there are artists. There's wood carving, there are oils and paintings. There's, depending on what time you go, there's entertainment. They're offering live performances. And it's something that we need to replicate around the country. Now, just so happened today was Support Small Business Day. And, of course, we spoke with Evelyn Redcross, whose family owns the venue at 7165. And she talked about that. But there's also a need for our community to do it over and beyond American Express or anybody else who's promoting small business. We, of all people, need to support our own. We need to support the local economy, skills, entrepreneurs, service people, crafts folks who are attempting to make it, particularly in a downward economy. Now, after we left there, we rode by several malls just to take a look at what was going on. And, of course, the parking lots jam-packed. There's all kinds of people there. And it just shows to the extent that we've been brainwashed to go for the herd mentality, the group think, where they just promote, advertise, and brainwash us to go along with their okey-doke. And unfortunately, now, this was the first weekend, but there wasn't a lot of traffic. There were people coming in, and we were there early, so it's quite possible that as the day wore on, more and more people will come. And of course, this was the first weekend, so obviously they will do more promotion. It'll be word of mouth, but people need to go and take advantage of those opportunities. And if you have a similar endeavor in your community, check it out and be supportive of it. And if you know they don't have what you're interested in, make a note to and a point to talk to the promoters and ask them if they can get what you want. Now, obviously, they can't compete with the box stores and the giant corporations. But a lot of what they sell as retailers are made overseas. And they are the reason that the American economy is in the doldrums, because many of the jobs and the factories have been offshored. America has been deindustrialized, so the factories are closing down. There are whole industries that have been wiped out, the steel industry, shipbuilding industry, to a certain extent, the airline industry in terms of making of aircraft, not aircraft, well, even the shipping industry, that's been outsourced too. So we're faced with dire circumstances, and the only way that we're going to bounce back is if we create our own economy. Now, to think that we're going to create economy on a scale of General Motors or General Electric or some of the big corporations is unrealistic if you're taking a short-term look. Now, yes, maybe down the road, 20 years, 30 years from now, we will have something like that. But we need to start where we are, start from scratch, and be practical, meaning provide essentials, food, clothing, and shelter. Be supportive of those endeavors. Be supportive of local farmers. Be supportive of their efforts to remain in business. If you can, start a co-op or start a food distribution or farmers market where you can. And of course, we highlighted several brothers who were doing that several months ago, and they were still doing it and still bringing the food up from the south, from the black farmers, and finding venues, various churches throughout Philadelphia and the tri-state area who were providing opportunities and venues for them to sell their produce and their products. And of course, they also included local farmers in that also. And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to get back to until such time as we can grow our own food, grow our own gardens, because I'm not an alarmist by any means, but if you look at what's happening, you look at the food prices with the hyperinflation coming on, and you look at the rigged commodities market, and just look at how the weather has impacted the various growing season with all the floods, the hurricanes, and things like that, we're going to experience some discomfort in terms of the overall economy, in terms of what's available. And so we need to take advantage of this and don't see it as doom and gloom, but see it as an opportunity to get up off our duff and to begin to do for self and to work together collectively and pull together collectively, because nobody's going to do it. I mean, even if you look at what's going on, even in the midst of a depression, look at all the various ethnic groups that are in our community providing goods and services. I'm not saying to run them out, but I'm just saying to take a look at it. Look at the goods and services that they're providing in our community and ask ourselves, what would happen if we provided those goods and services? Look at all the money that they take out of our community. You go into the Stop and Goes and the Chinese stores and what have you. For the most part, they don't hire our people. The nail salons, mostly, I don't know, because this is global as well as throughout the United States, but in the tri-state area, in the Philadelphia, five-county, Pennsylvania area, southern Jersey, and I haven't really noticed in northern Delaware, but South Jersey and the Philadelphia area, the Koreans have taken over the nail salons, manicure, pedicure, and the dry cleaning industries for the most part. What would happen if we had our own dry cleaning places? What would happen if we had our own nail salon places? A lot of the stop and goes, those fast food, hoagie places, hamburger steaks, the Chinese takeout spots are owned by people who do not live in our community, who do not look like us. And that's okay, theoretically, because that's what supposedly America is about, land of opportunity. But I maintain that if we're going to talk about economic revitalization, we have to start where we are, have to cast down our buckets where we are, and we have to begin to think about ways that we can build an economy and not the get-rich-quick, just super-duper, we're going to make it overnight kind of thing. We're talking about in it for the long haul, providing great services, excellent products, and an attitude of gratitude and one of compassion and empathy for the people that we serve. And unless and until we do that, we'll remain in a underclass type position, and we need to move to a more ethnocentric approach to economics. And it's interesting that we don't hear this from our so-called leadership class, the people who have been characterized as misleadership. I call them the Judas goats who are leading us astray, leading us down the wrong path of servitude and total dependence on the system. And even if there were our benefactors, and they're not, even if they had our best interests at heart, and they don't, we'd still be servile, and we'd still be dependent, and we'd still be childlike, totally dependent upon them without regard for our past adversarial relationships and exploitative dynamics between those people who exist in our community, who are providing goods and services, who don't look like us, who are taking all the money out and leaving us with nothing. And that's not their fault, that's our fault, because we have not stood up for ourselves, because we have not believed in ourselves, we have not done what they do, which is pool resources and determine how we can find a niche for ourselves and make money in this community. And don't say, well, we're doing the entertainment thing, because by and large, they're just fronts. They don't control the distribution. They don't control the flow of the money. They don't control how the products get exposed via the jukeboxes, the radio and TV. None of that. That's all, for the most part, in other people's hands. At best, all they do is create the stuff and maybe own their masters. Everything else is somebody else is doing it and benefiting handsomely from it. I mean, just from the standpoint, all these athletes making all this money, you never hear about them pulling their money together to start a bank. You never hear them pulling their money together to start a credit union or to promote economic growth and development, even in the well-to-do areas, let alone in the hoods and in the inner cities. So it shows just how brainwashed and backward we are as a people. And so we realize that you have to start somewhere, and you have to start small. And so we just went up to be supportive of the Mount Airy Holiday Marketplace, and we were able to interview several people. We went up to do a story on it for some of the local papers that I write for, but also met some interesting people who I felt would be good to get exposure on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. And so the interviews you're going to hear took place at the Mount Airy Holiday Marketplace at 7165 Germantown Avenue in the Mount Airy Chestnut Hills section of Philadelphia. And we'd encourage you to be supportive of the two young ladies who have the book Lyrics of My Life. They have a website. And some of the other people that I just mentioned who were there, just talked to them and got a couple of pictures for this, for the article. Some of them have websites, and you can see what they offer, and some of them do offer e-commerce. So I'd encourage you to take advantage of it. But more importantly, use that idea. Use the idea of the bazaar. Use the idea of the street festival, the marketplace. Bring it inside and do it for not only the holiday season, but do it for round the year, round the clock, in terms of building up a business and financial acumen. And if we don't do that, we're going to be lost. We're going to be back basically in on the same level we were when we were sharecroppers, you know, not in physical chattel slavery, but we'll be in economic and psychological slavery because we can't see ourselves moving beyond and taking advantage of the opportunities that are available to us. Is America perfect? Of course not. Is America corrupt and degenerate? Yes, it is. But we have the power to alter our reality, to step out and beyond that, transcend that. And we are doing our ancestors, ourselves, and our progeny a disservice the longer we remain in a dependent and servile position. And so you have to start somewhere. It might as well be small, and you can do it by, just like the Red Crosses are, providing a venue for artists, which is what their October Gallery Art, International Art Expo is. But they also have a venue at 7165 where they've opened it to community. It's a restaurant. It's a vegan restaurant. They have various classes. They rent the space out. And it's a way that they can offer a space for the community. And they're doing it from November 25th through December 24th, where they're allowing artists, craftspeople, artisans to come in, vendors to come in there, and several other places along the avenue. So take a look at it, check it out, listen to it, and then see if you can replicate that whole concept and possibly take it to another level where you are. So don't go anywhere. The next voices you will hear will be some of the vendors, the artisans, the artists, the craftspeople at, and even Evelyn Red Cross, who owns the venue. And she'll talk briefly about the marketplace and what that's all about. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton, and you're listening to the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We're going to start off the set with an interview with Evelyn Red Cross, whose family owns the facility. They're the co-founders of the October Gallery. They promote the International Art Expo, and it's been going on for, 25, 26 years. And she will describe the origin, the genesis, and the whole purpose of the marketplace. And then you'll hear from two authors who are quite exceptional, in my view, in terms of how they've gotten to where they are. They've formed a company, they're pulling their resources and considerable talents together, and then they'll tell you about their projects, what they're doing, and offer some information about themselves. So stay tuned, don't go anywhere, we'll be right back. The next voices you will hear will be from Evelyn Red Cross and Stormy and her partner at the Mount Airy Holiday Marketplace in Philadelphia, 7165 and 7137 Germantown Avenue, November 25th through December 24th. Stay tuned.
Yeah, go ahead.
Evelyn Red Cross.
Oh, okay.
E-V-E-L-Y-N, Red Cross.
So what's the genesis for this event?
Well, you know, people like individual items. Sometimes people are looking for things that are unique. And one of the best places to find those things is in craft shows. people who are artisans who are able to create those things, and they're one of a kind, and even if they make them similar, they are still in some ways very different. And so people enjoy those things. They like the creativity, the variety, and when it's in their neighborhood, it's wonderful. Mount Airy is a wonderful place to do a marketplace because of the diverse people that live here. And Mount Airy downtown is developing so nicely. It's a great, and people are enjoying being in this location. So we thought, let's put the two together. Let's put the art and the visual arts and the crafts and the marketplace all together here. And October Gallery has always done similar things.
Right.
And so, of course, we're trying it again here.
So what's been the response?
The response has been very good. Of course, we always want more people.
Mm-hmm.
So we want more and more people to come. And we're doing it every weekend up until Christmas.
Okay,
so it's going to give us time tremendous.
Right.
We've got a lot of competition today because it's Black Friday. You know how that
now,
is. But that's okay. People are still here.
Well, the promote small businesses, did you know about that? Or is that something that was independent of what you were
Well, you know, American Express is doing a promote small business program. Is that the one you're talking about?
Well, I knew that they were behind it a couple of days ago, but but there has been a program us for Saturday to promote small businesses.
Are you talking about from the city of Philadelphia? Or who?
Just nationwide.
Just nationwide.
Yeah,
sure.
But yeah.
Well, you know, it's really small business that runs America.
Right.
I mean, it's really not the big boys. The big boys employ more people, but it's the small businesses that carry America, because when you add them all up, we employ a lot of people, and we cover the people who otherwise may not get employment. And people are able to work in their neighborhoods, and they're able to work and know their bosses and that kind of thing. So it's very strong. I mean, the government knows it's strong, and that's why we have to pay our share of their taxes and all that kind of stuff, even though we're little.
Mm.
And the big guys get breaks on taxes and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they have a whole different situation for them, and they're making all the money. But I'm not complaining about that. I'm just saying that small business is important.
Mm.
And to encourage small business is to encourage a community and to help people.
Right.
And I think that's a lovely thing.
How can people, as this rolls out, you got about a month or so left, so how can people get more information about this and participate, artists, craftspeople?
Mm-hmm. They can just call October Gallery, and it's 215-629-3939. That's a pretty easy one. You may not remember it, but if you write it down, you'll be like, yeah, that's the number.
Okay.
And just give us a call. You can also email us at info@octobergallery.com, you know, just in case you want to do it that way, or events@octobergallery.com.
Okay. What about going to your website?
Our website is www.octobergallery.com, and you can get information about it. Maybe you want to be a vendor. Maybe you just want to show up for the day. And we have food. You know, we have food for people to eat, and we have entertainment, some live entertainment, some poetry, some dance. We have someone today doing caricatures for free. You know, can you imagine? And he emails it to you.
Okay.
Yeah, so
right,
maybe you want to get yours done, huh?
Well, I'll set to see you. My wife just gave me the subtle thing. I'll see you in the car, so that means a couple
more. That's right.
Yeah.
I understand. But that's basically it. So we've always done the art, and now we're finding that it's important to merge that art with other things that people are interested in. Marketplaces, food, people want... They want more than one concept.
Yeah,
they want more for their money. Mm. They want some richness in their experience.
Mm.
So we're trying for it.
Of course, they want a warm atmosphere. You know,
yeah.
See, I see it's family friendly, so you have something for children to do.
That's
and,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. We certainly try to do that as well. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So which one is Erica?
You're right.
Okay. And okay. Okay. Oh, we're speaking with Erica A. Cuff and Stormy Kim Ramsey, who are the publishers of Lyrics of My Life, and they're entrepreneurs. This is their first published venture, and they're quite talented, and we're here at the marketplace, and we're going to speak with them. Say hello.
Hello.
And introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm Erica A. Cuff.
Hello, I'm Stormy Kim Ramsey.
Okay. Now, how did you two get together to collaborate on this?
Well, actually, it was a project of my own from maybe a decade ago. Mm-hmm. But me and Stormy met maybe like 4 years ago when I invited her to join me with this venture, because I knew we both had a story to tell, two different stories, but it was both relatable to the youth, mm-hmm. and like reaching out to them and knowing that, you know, we've been in your place before, and, you know, just to inspire people that they can do the same thing or, you know, follow their dreams.
So that's the crux of the material in there, to discover yourself and follow your dreams?
Yes, well, it's like all our life experiences and different things, and we've been through both of us been through so much, and this is like just letting everybody know that even though we've been through everything, we can overcome different, you know, obstacles in life, you know, and just really wanting to inspire people and giving the youth an opportunity to, like, vent or do different things that will create value with their life, and instead of, like, the negative things in life. So.
Now, you're a writer, but you've got a whole plethora of things that you do. So you're a film, you do engineering, you're a songwriter. So how'd you get into spoken word and poetry?
Well, you know,
First of all, introduce yourself.
Okay, this is Stormy again. And, well, the reason that I got into, you know, poetry and everything is because, you know, I felt as though that, you know, writing is, like, really therapeutic for me. And surrounded around everything that I was doing, you know, I mean, I love doing the technical things that are, you know, geared around mass media. But writing really enabled me to really connect with people more. I felt like that was really an opportunity where I could connect with people in a direct sense. You know, instead of having, like, certain limitations with, you know, with film and, you know, music and stuff like that, you know, I felt as though that, you know, writing was really a way where you could kind of just be free with yourself and you could say, like, the sky's really the limit, you know. So that's how I got started. And like Erica stated, you know, I definitely had a story to tell. You know, part of my story is, you know, encouraging young people to stay in school, because I only went up to the eighth grade. You know, I didn't go to high school at all. You know, I was encouraged to get my GED by some very inspirational women in my life. And, you know, I independently studied for the GED and passed on my own. And when I was able to go to college. And when I went to college, I actually graduated summa cum laude, you know. So that was like a really a big accomplishment for me. So I felt as though, you know, there's a lot of youth out here that are dropping out of school. And, you know, they need to have options or know their options or know ways to overcome, you know, their sufferings, you know, and everything. And writing was a way for me to do that. And all the aspects of art that I was exposed to were a way for me to do that. But writing was the aspect of art that I was most passionate about.
Well, how many of your pieces are in there, and how many of Storm's pieces are in there? Or is it equal or what?
Yeah, it's definitely equal.
Okay. So how did you get into writing?
I think I've been writing since I was born, since I could hold a pen. And I've just always been very creative, and, like, just my mind just would wonder, and I just would come up with different things and just write it down. And it was very therapeutic for me also with dealing with different, you know, obstacles in my life, like having a son with autism and everything like that. And like a lot of really close people to me, I lost them at a very young age, so that really affected me. So it was very therapeutic, and just I was able to comfort myself when no one else was there to comfort me. So, but I've been writing forever, so, but this is our first published book.
Now, Storm, she said that you are focusing this on to help a lot of young people, and she mentioned autism. Now you're saying that you have a son, so is this, like, are you going to donate some of the proceeds, or are you just hoping that they'll, parents of children who have autism will read this and see what you're going through and give them some inspiration and hope that they can cope and overcome?
Yeah, well, we definitely will probably donate some of the proceeds, but we also wanted to start a nonprofit organization for autism just by itself. So we're, like, using this and leading up to all the different ventures that we have. And, you know, as you stated, Stormy stated, we have so many different things that we do. And so this is just like a start for us to introduce ourselves to the world, but we're both caregivers and we both really want to give back to the community. So that's where we're headed, in that direction, for autism, for the elderly and, like, stroke patients and the youth of, you know, the teenagers and even young adults and stuff, because it takes a while to find yourself, really. So we just really want to reach out to everyone.
So how old is your son now?
He'll be 13 December 26th, yes. And I actually homeschooled him because me and Stormy, we met in an autistic support classroom at the same school my son was attending. And it was like, I won't get into it, but it was a lot of negativity there, and they didn't really care for the kids the way they needed to be cared for. So she left, and I left like 2 months after her to homeschool my son. So I homeschooled him for 2 years. And now I put him back into, we moved to a different school district, and he's in an excellent school, just made distinguished honors and everything, so, yeah.
Now, since you are familiar with the technology, sound engineering, and all of that, and you're a songwriter, any plans to do a CD, a companion CD to this book?
Yeah, we do have a plan to do a companion CD. What we would like to do is, you know, give the audience an opportunity to let us know which poems they would like to hear recorded. Mm-hmm. You know, and they could do that on our website at RamseyPuff.com, you know, and just give us...
Yeah, because I was going to ask you what's the URL for the website, but go ahead. Give it again.
RamseyPuff.com. So you could go to our contact page and, you know, let us know what songs you would like to hear recorded. I'm sorry, which poems you would like to hear recorded as songs or spoken word, you know, and Lyrics of My Life is actually just the beginning of, you know, a series of books. You know, this Lyrics of My Life, this is the first one, but, you know, these are from 10 years ago. So we still got to do Lyrics of My Life from the present time, you know, from the new millennium of what's going on, you know, to keep the people connected, you know, as well. Like, okay, we know what you're going through 10 years, you know, like, you know, at this stage now, you know, because we are a lot more advanced than we were 10 years, exactly, more mature, and we know how to deal with these situations with a broader perspective, you know. So you know, then we have a lot of other books that we will be releasing, you know, in the future as well. So the CD and everything is definitely, you know, going to be a wonderful compliment, you know, to Lyrics of My Life. But like we said, we would really like the audience to get engaged and with, you know, let us know what they would like to hear.
Now, you said there are songs up there that you've written. So when folks go to your website and give you a URL again.
Mm-hmm. RamseyCuff.com, RamseyCuff, as in Frank.com.
Okay, now, do you have e-commerce? Can they purchase the book and other things on the website?
Yes, they can purchase the book on the website. It'll take you to our e-store. If they go to the music page, they can purchase the songs directly off of iTunes. The songs that are on our website are previously recorded material, so they're not songs that are adapted from the book, you know, at this time. So like we stated, we would like the audience to have, like, their input on that. But they can purchase everything that we have available directly from our website or Amazon.com, because some people do have set up accounts on there, and they can purchase it from there.
Now, you have some of your original songs on there, too?
Yes, all the music on there is originally... original music. I'm the songwriter for the songs. The productions were created by a friend of mine, Gordon Goss. So he's the music producer behind that. Yeah.
Now, you are the business person behind the operation. So what's your rollout plan once you? So how are you going to take this to the next level? In other words, you've accomplished your goal to get it published. And obviously you self-published it and you're self-marketing. So what are some of your goals to take it beyond, say, Philadelphia?
Well, actually, we're both the business mind of everything. Everything is equal.
Well, she gave you the question.
No, I said it's my business.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay.
It was my original idea, that book itself, Lyrics of My Life, which I included her. But, yeah, I can't take the credit for doing this all by myself, but we're equally talented and equally, you know, obligated to the business. But as far as our business, it's just, like, so much that we want to do. Like, to get to this point, we actually was selling homemade waffle cakes. And, yeah, like, as a little fundraiser, so we raised the money to publish the book. And we were selling that at beauty salons and barbershops and different things like that. And we also make doll cakes that we were selling and different things like that. But what we really want to do is just reach out. I know in 2013 we're planning on like a big conference for the youth, like just to give them, make them
now,
more.
Is this for youth with autism or just generic?
Yeah, just everyone really.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Everyone from 16 to 24 or, you know, older.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we just really want to reach out to the youth. And I mean, we have more books coming. We actually wrote screenplays.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so it's a lot going on.
This is just like the beginning, you know, everything. This is the first product that we could actualize. We were so anxious, you know, to really do something, you know, and, like, put our talent to use, you know. So, we were, you know, Erica's like, well, you know, what can we do, you know, that we can push out quickly and everything? And she's like, well, you know, you can come in the lyrics of my life, and, you know, you have material that's been sitting for 10 years, and, you know, turn your songs into poems, you know, and put that together. And next thing you know, we were just like, we were finished in about 6 months. So it was like the quickest thing that we could get out there that was kind of like, you know, a realistic process, you know, for the minimal amount of money that we had and the economic hardship, you know, that we were in. It was just like, we got to do something. We just can't sit here and not do anything, you know. So we were just like, we're going to do this and we're going to try to connect, you know, and inspire other people to do the same, because with times changing and everything, the way that, you know, politics and are operating, it's like, you know, there's not many opportunities, so we have to create our own opportunities in order for us to sustain our lives and really get beyond that, you know. So it's like, I feel as though that this time is a time for everyone to be working on their dreams in some way, shape, or form, you know. And you have to be self-reliant. It's not going to be an easy process. Whatever your faith may be, you have to hold on to that and just kind of just be like optimistic, you know, and really fight hard, you know, for what you want. And, you know, like, you know, be that change you want to see.
Now, are you currently writing like volume 2? Is that going to be lyrics of your life 2, or are you going to change something?
That's almost done. That's in the works also.
Okay.
Yeah. And like Stormy was saying, that we just had a lot of different avenues to go in and our own separate projects, but we figured that this would be the best way to introduce ourselves to the world. You know, because teamwork, you already know teamwork is like the best, and two hands is better than one.
Cooperation.
Yes. So, but Lyrics of My Life 2 will be out soon, and we're waiting on responses as far as for the CD to put out Lyrics of My Life 1. And it's just like, you know, it's just a blessing, and we feel so blessed at this time to be able to do like the October Gallery and to be on different radio stations and things like that, and really just to reach back. Like, since I met Stormy, we were both talking about how we can give. We didn't have a dime to our name, but we were saying how we could give. And even now, we haven't sold a million books, but we're already planning on, like, giving back. So that's our main goal.
Mm-hmm. Well, other than attending venues like this, what have you done? Now, she said you had a book signing party or an event. So what other things are you doing to promote the book and yourselves and the company?
Well, so far we just released the book November 12th, and then November 15th we were on the Lady B show, 100.3 The Beat, and now we're at the October Gallery. So we're just lining up different avenues to, you know, promote our book and everything. I know in February is like a big convention for authors in Philadelphia, so we'll be attending that too. You know, so we're just seeing different avenues to travel and just really promoting on the internet, yeah, and on Facebook and all the social events. So, yeah.
How do you plan to use your contacts that you have in the music industry with this, or do you?
Well, you know, I'm not like a big time songwriter or anything like that, but the people, the people that I am affiliated with, you know, in the music industry have been very helpful with giving us great ideas on promoting, you know, and continuously keeping the promotion going, because the promotion is basically the same. Yeah, it's the same. You know, you got to get your name out there. You know, because you have a product and people don't know about it, then you can't sell it, just like with music. You know, so we've been very fortunate to have a lot of experienced people, you know, give us some great advice. You know, that's been helpful. And today is, what, the 26th? So, you know, a book has only been out for a matter of less than 2 weeks. Yeah, for about a week. And this is our, you know, third event, you know, that we've been doing. And we also, you know, selling copies hand in, you know, hand in hand, you know, and everything. We have a really big support system from our family and friends, you know. So we have books on reserve, you know, and everything. So people could call us and, you know, let us know. You know our number already. You know, you can hit us up.
Well, they can contact you through the website, right?
They can contact, yeah, via the website and everything, you know. So for this first week has been actually really good, you know, for us. I mean, we have, like, absolutely no complaints, you know, at all. Like Erica was saying, you know, we don't have a lot of money, you know, but some money is better than no money. And, you know, I'm just, like, so appreciative of where we are right now, you know. And we really want to, you know, like we said, put this out there. But in addition to what we are looking to gain, we know that this project is bigger than us. You know, it's not just about making money. You know, it's about, like, what are you using your talent to do in life? You know what I mean? In society, like, you know, how are you inspiring somebody else? Are you raising a successor? You know, everyone wants the world to change, but they don't want to teach anybody else what they know. You know, they don't want to see anybody else get beyond them. You know, so it's like that mentor-disciple relationship in other countries, you know, the mentor raised their successor, you know, in their job field so that they can be better than them. And, you know, when they move on and everything in life, then it's like they have someone great to take their place that they taught. So, I mean, we need to really adapt that here in America if we really want to see, you know, our country change. We really want to see the youth do something different. Like, we complain about their behaviors and everything that they're doing, but who's reaching out to them? Who's encouraging them to think differently? Who's showing them a different way of making money instead of going about doing it in a negative way, you know? So that's what we really hope to do, you know, through this project.
Now, it seems to me that both of you have a lot to offer in terms of telling your story. So is that part of what you want to do? You want to be, like, motivational speakers or do seminars and workshops in addition to all the other things you're doing?
Yes. That's the direction that we're headed in, because like Stormy was saying, like, our mission is way bigger than the book, and just to, like, let people know that we've been there before and that we overcame it and that they can do the same. That's what I was saying about our conference. That'll be probably 2013. That's what we're working on, so we can bring people together and bring in different you know, doctors and lawyers and just different people to talk to their youth and let them know that it's a better way and that they can do anything, you know, anything is possible. So we definitely want to be motivational speakers, and, like, we are even volunteering now. We volunteer to a lot of people, you know, that.
So they can contact you via the website?
Yes, via the website.
Give me your URL again.
That's www.ramseycuff.com. That's RamseyCuff.com.
Okay. Now, it seems to me with all your skills, you took film. So are you planning to, like, do videos and film of either yourself speaking or your products or your lectures or what? Yeah. Is that something you thought about?
That's definitely something that we thought about. I'm so appreciative that I do have those skills, you know, to utilize in that form. You know, I do still have a lot of friends who are, you know, in the film industry and stuff. So, I mean, to reach out to those individuals and stuff that could help us, you know, really build on what we're trying to do, and to have those memories and, you know, videos to show, you know, people what we've been doing or what we plan to do, you know, in the future, you know, everything is absolutely, you know, a great benefit, you know, to what we're trying to do right now.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet both of you. Give us your URL again, and then we'll let you go, because it's starting to get crowded here. I'm sure you want to sell your book.
That's www.ramseycuff.com.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Let me get a picture of your name. Say your name. Say and spell your name.
Heather. Oh, I'm sorry. Heather Drummond, H E A T H E R LeaDrummond. Name of my company is Heather's Holiday Bath.
Okay, now where are you located?
We are located in Philadelphia, in Germantown, at Queen Lane and Wissahickon.
Okay, phone number, you have a website too?
Yes, we have a website. The name of the website is www.giftandgreek.com. And our address proper is 552 West Queen Lane, Philadelphia, PA 19144. And the phone number is 818-941-9630. Once again, that's 818-941-9630.
Now, what's the significance for you of being participating in this? Doesn't have to be elaborate. I'm just getting a quote for you.
It is wonderful to meet the Germantown Mount Airy community. It's ever-changing, and it's great to get a whole new realm of customers online and in person.
Thank you.
Okay,
good. Thanks.
Yes, my name is Pastor Darian Thomas, D-A-R-I-E-N-T-H-O-M-A-S.
Okay, and you have a company, or you're working, you're like sole proprietorship, or what?
Yes, sole proprietorship, yes, yes.
Okay, name, yes. The name of yours?
Well, my wife's business name is the Philadelphia Bag Lady,
mm-hmm.
and that's where we sell our bags and other accessories.
Okay. So these are designer bags, custom?
They're the fashionable bags.
Right.
Yeah. We stay away from the high brand end bags. We've been in situations where we ordered them before. People kind of, you know, sometimes they change their mind after, mm-hmm. you know, they get it or whatever. So we stay fashionable but quality.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you also do what?
We do pottery.
Okay.
And our pottery.
And jewelry.
And jewelry, right. Our jewelry is from Africa. We have it's a very durable jewelry. And we also have from around the world, Turkey, Israel.
Mm-hmm.
The pottery comes from all countries throughout the world.
Okay. What's the significance for you of participating in an event like this?
Well, being African-American business in Philadelphia, we feel as though that we want to reach out to our community and give them a quality product, you know, at a very inexpensive price.
Okay. Good. Okay. All right.
As we close out our program featuring Evelyn Red Cross of October Gallery, Erica A. Cuff, and Stormy Kim Ramsey, the authors of Lyrics of My Life, and their participants in the Mount Airy Holiday Marketplace, and we encourage you to look into that whole idea in terms of having a community place where entrepreneurs, small service providers, vendors, and artists can come and promote their wares, where the community is a focal point, becomes a focal point in the community, so the community can come, buy good quality, see artists, see service providers, see entrepreneurs who are attempting to make a difference, and hopefully this will generate and inspire the community to be more supportive and to begin the long and arduous task of building an economy in our community that recycles the money so it stays in our community, as opposed to leaving our community when the sun goes down. You've been listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, here on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul Channel. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton. We thank you for logging on. We encourage you to practice the Nguzu Saba all year long, not just the 7 days of Kwanzaa celebration, but make it a part and parcel of your very lives. Make it part of your sinew, your fiber, your mind, your consciousness, and everything that you do 365 days a year. And you'll see a magnificent change in our community, in our reality. Till next time, free your mind. The rest will follow. Stay strong. So no
killer wields a gun.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.